Welcome, everyone. It is time once again for the half-hour episodes of Lum and Abner. I have actually several of these for the month of April. I think maybe one coming up in May, and after that, I don't remember. I think they kind of taper off for a little bit.
Actually, after April, they all go away until August.
But then again, that would be getting close to the summer season break. But today, in a little bit, we'll have a visit from Uncle Donnie Pitchford, president of the National Lum and Abner Society. You can find that website at www.lum-and-abner-society.com. I'm pretty sure I got that right.
How about www.lumandabnersociety.org, and without the dashes?
I've been having trouble getting the URL straight lately. You can also find out more about the world of Lum and Abner on Facebook at the Facebook group for the Lum and Abner radio show and the Lum and Abner comic strip. Check out a whole world of Lum and Abner fans who would just love to hear from you. Well, and now let's get going with our show today. Is that who I think it is?
Uncle Donnie is here.
Hey, go get the door.
I'll get it.
Let's let Uncle Donnie in so he can read us that article.
Hello, Uncle Donnie. I see you're all set to read to us. Just step right up to the microphone.
Page 3. Meet the folks in Pine Ridge. Editor's note. Most of the characters on the Lum and Abner shows were at least partially modeled on the people Chetlock and Norris Goff knew in the area around Waters, later Pine Ridge. Here, Kathy Stucker, co-manager of the Lum and Abner Museum and the official Pine Ridge historian, has presented her findings about the real Pine Ridge inhabitants and how they resembled their radio characterizations. Grandpappy Spears, Kling Wilhite. He always wore a crushed felt hat, which he sat on when it couldn't be on his head. When pals borrowed it and told him they'd left it in Mena, 20 miles away, he started to walk back to get it. They only let him go for a mile before they stopped him. He and his wife had many children. Sister Simpson, Margaret Wilhite, the wife of Kling, always wore a sour expression, but she wasn't really so mean. Kling locked her in the barn when he went away, which may account for the sour expression. She did all the chores, and although he would help with some things, such as hauling wood and water, there was one woman's job he just wouldn't stoop down to, chopping wood. Elizabeth Peabody, Ola Hooper, a large, stern woman who took in all the stray children but ruled them with an iron hand. She was the area midwife and delivered most of the babies. She disliked a southern standard, boiled okra. She ate some once, but said it was in the seat of her chair when she stood up afterwards. If you've ever eaten it, you'll understand. Little Pearl Peabody, Eva May O'Neill. She planned to be a nurse, but died at age 18 of complications following a fall from a horse. Like most of these people, she's buried in the Pine Ridge Cemetery, a quarter mile from the store and museum. Mose Moots, Ora Garrett. The Pine Ridge barber in the 1930s, and after returning from World War II, he continued cutting hair for $2 until shortly before his death in 1984. Highway 88 was 30 miles of dirt and gravel until it was paved in 1955. After 10 miles of dust and dirt, passers-by would ask Ori how far it was to the pavement. He'd say it was 5 miles, although it was 20, and when he was criticized for it, he would explain, "They'll be happier for a little while." Mousie Gray, Claude Lee, a soft-spoken man still living in Mena. He had many tales about his World War II experiences, as were often featured on the Lum and Abner programs. Cedric Weehunt, Lester Goble. He had a droll sense of humor and was slow to speak, but witty when he did. He was not the same kind of slow as Cedric, but quite a character. In the Army, he was known as Cedric and signed autographs for his buddies who all knew about Lum and Abner. Evelina Schultz, Nancy Chambers, a very shy woman in her 90s, who has always lived in Pine Ridge. She has never married because she didn't get Lum, who had a crush on her in the program, and her other beau was killed in World War I, not World War II. She wasn't a school marm, but still reads the daily paper from first to last. She and her sister Willie, the wife of Ora Garrett, once had a plow horse named Strawberry. Nancy walked the garden rows carrying a bottle of strawberry pop, and Willie held the plow behind the horse. Strawberry's nose would follow that bottle of pop back and forth all day just for an occasional drink. Dick Huddleston, the only real name kept with its originator. Dick was the actual storekeeper and owner of the present store, 1909. He was Arkansas's ambassador of goodwill and took his Pine Ridge follies all over the Midwest, talking about Lum and Abner and the beautiful Washitas. He once won a bet from a friend who bragged that he could throw a heavy hammer into a barrel of fresh eggs in the store and not break an egg. Of course, most of the eggs broke, so the 50 cents Dick won had to satisfy his curiosity, but didn't cover the cost of the broken eggs. Widder Abernathy, Chastity Lawrence, a very sweet woman who had been widowed and had several children, and although she did remarry, it wasn't to Lum, whom the widder pursued throughout the programs. When permanence became available, she liked her so tight that they pulled her heels off the floor. She could not see very well, but still ate a hearty meal as she got older, so at the socials, the young men sitting around her piled their chicken bones all around her plate and then kidded her about eating so much. She enjoyed the joke. Squire Skimp, Doc Hammond. Not the schemer Squire was, but looked the part. They couldn't have identified anyone too closely with Squire, or they would have been sued. Doc was a doctor in Mena. The only suit ever brought against Lum and Abner was for the use of the name Lum Edwards, but it didn't get to court. Most people appreciated the honest humor with which they were portrayed. As we go back through the article, photographs accompanying it are pictures either from the Orange, Lum and Abner and Their Friends book or other sources as the postcards. We have a photo of Grandpappy Spears, Kling Wilhite, one of Ola Hooper, one of Eva Mae O'Neill. The gentleman identified here as Lester Goble, we have since learned was actually Lasker Goble. His photograph is here. Also Nancy Chambers, and a photo of Dick Huddleston. And on the final page, one of Doc Hammond, who posed as Squire Skimp. The photographs were always taken by Mr. Oscar Plaster, a Mena photographer, who had done the very first publicity photos of Lum and Abner. Once again, the article here is by Kathy Stucker.
Thanks, Uncle Donnie. Goodbye until next time.
David, you did it again. You need to stop shoving people out of the studio so abruptly.
Why? Keith didn't have anything to say.
Maybe he wanted to invite Donnie back
and join us in the studios to read to us from the Jot 'em Down journals. And that one there just happened to be one from June of 1988, I'm pretty sure. And as I was saying earlier in this episode, Lum wants to write an article for the Reader's Digest, which is a return to some old story arcs that they've done before, what Lum practices his writing skills. It's not so much about his writing, though, today, as it is about a mix-up. He accidentally has the wrong letter mailed to this editor, and they try to get it back before the editor shows up. And, of course, it goes to everybody in the town before it all comes back to the big finale. Does Lum get his article posted in the article? Well, you'll have to stay tuned and listen up. So for now, let's say this. Take it away, Retrobots.
From April 5th, 1950, the Reader's Digest manuscript.
Cliff Arquette, Willard Waterman, music by Opie Case, and starring Lum and Abner.
Lom, what's that trash you're writing now?
This ain't trash. It's literary junk.
Oh! What's that junk you're writing then?
Abner, you're here to the Reader's Digest, ain't you?
Is that what you're writing?
Well, no, not all of it.
Oh.
Not yet. I'm just starting out with one article.
Lom, they ain't never going to buy nothing from you. You ain't had no experience at writing.
I don't need none. All I got to do is use my brain.
Ain't had a whole lot of experience at that, neither. Just where did you get the idea that you could write?
Miss Bartlett, the new schoolmarm, give it to me. That's who.
Where did she get it?
I think she got it from me.
Uh-huh. That's just what I figured.
Well, Abner, it don't hurt to blow your own horn a little.
Well, no, but you're getting to be a regular one-man band. What's this article about you writing?
Well, it's for that department the Digest has ever meant, called The Most Unforgettable Character I Ever Met.
And just what makes you think they'll buy it?
Well, they're bound to, because I've got such a wonderful character to write about.
Oh, yeah. Who is it?
Well, I thought of several different characters, and after turning them all over in my head a couple of times, I finally decided on one I knowed I never would forget. Me.
You? Doggies, Lom, you better quit right now. I don't think they'd let you send that through the mail.
Quit? I've got it all done.
Oh.
There it is, Abner. My masterpiece. I'll bet you're anxious to hear this.
How much you want to bet?
Now, make yourself comfortable there, and I'll read it to you.
Oh, man.
Now, pay close attention. I want you to notice how my plot is developed.
You'll get shuddered after you stop eating so much.
I said plot.
Oh!
The Most Unforgettable Character I've Ever Met, by Nathaniel Wadsworth Edwards.
By who?
I'm writing this under a consumed name.
Well, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to take the blame for that junk, neither.
What I mean is that now that I'm a writer, I'm using a nom de plume.
What's the matter? Did your typewriter break down?
No.
Judging by that print in there, it looks like your plume broke down.
And just keep quiet now and listen.
All right, go ahead.
Here we go. As the sinking sun slipped down behind the tree-covered hill...
Now, which hill is that?
The one with the tree on it.
Oh.
As the sinking sun...
You mean that hill back of the old Davis place?
Yeah, that's as good as any. Slipped down behind the tree-covered
hill... They cut that tree down, Ron. There ain't nothing left there no more.
Well, all right. As the sinking sun slips down behind old Baldy, I recall a highly unforgettable character. Never have I met a more colorful, generous, wise, intelligent, handsome...
Hey, I thought this was about you.
Well, it is. Don't you think that catches the real me?
No, but somebody soon will. Fellow with a net.
I admit this description of me is a little sketchy. It needs a few more words in it.
Yeah, words like lazy, ignorant.
I mean, like, well, now, do you know what egomaniac means?
No, no.
Well,
what is it?
I don't know neither. Charlie Redfield suggested I put that in there. But I don't know. I don't want to make this too strong. Folks are liable to think I'm conceited.
Go ahead, chunk it in. It fits you as good as any of that other stuff you got there.
Yeah, might as well.
Sure, go whole hog, bud.
Colorful, wise, intelligent, handsome, egomaniac.
Bobby, that sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a nice ring to it, ain't it?
Wrong me.
Let's see now. Oh, yeah. I first chanced upon this genius. That name. Come in. Seems like every time I try to do something. Oh, hello, Opie.
Hello, Lump. Cliff Arquette sent me over here to ask you if you know the new address of the Prescott Incubator Company.
Yeah, I think I know it, Opie. What does Cliff want that address for?
Well, you see, he was an incubator baby, and every year he sends them a card on Mother's Day. Well, I think that's sweet. Bless his heart.
Well, what do you want to send the card to early for?
Well, he has to send it early so they'll have enough time to send it to all the branch officers.
Well, Abner, give him the address and let him get out of here.
Yeah.
Hello, Lumeter Dresden speaking.
I'll write that address down for you.
Well, how are you, Miss Bartley?
Instead of wearing a rose in his lapel for Mother's Day, Cliff wears a 10-watt light bulb.
Keep quiet, old man. Well, yes, Miss Bartlett, I've got it all wrote, and I... how's that?
Cliff is nuts.
I can't hear a thing here. Would you speak a little louder?
I said Cliff is nuts.
Opie, get out of here. Now, what did you say, Miss Bartlett?
Yeah, here you are, Opie. Here's that address.
Oh, well, much obliged, then. So long.
Yeah, so long, Opie.
Why, that's wonderful, Miss Bartlett. Is he here in town now?
Who?
Well, sure, send him over. How soon can he get here?
Who?
Half an hour? That's wonderful. I'll be all set for him.
Who? Who?
I'm sure much obliged to you, Miss Bartlett. Goodbye. Granny's Abner, I could swear there's an owl in this room. Did you hear me?
Well, don't bother about that now. Just tell me who it is that Miss Bartlett's sending over here.
Well, sir, this is the best break I could have got.
What?
She's got a friend that goes around picking up articles like mine.
Well, they got a stick with a nail in the end of it?
No, Smarty, he's a literary agent.
Huh?
And if he likes my article, he'll get it in the magazine. Now, let's see. I better get my manuscript together here. Wait a minute. Where's page one?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, it was there on that table a minute ago.
On that table? Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh?
That must have been the piece of paper I used to write down that address for Opie.
Oh, for pity's sake. Well, come on. Don't just sit there. We've got to get that page back. And if we don't, there's going to be one dead pigeon around here.
Who?
You, you dead blame hoot owl. Grannies, I hope Cliff ain't throwed that paper away.
Well, don't bust his door down.
Well, why don't he answer? More likely in there gossiping over the phone.
Man, I don't know.
Here, here, what are you trying to do? Shatter my nerves?
I'm sorry, Cliff, but I...
couldn't hear a thing on the telephone. Oh, I could hear, but I was missing most of the juicier details. Come on in.
Well, thank you, Cliff, but all we want is to get...
Well, I ain't through with the call yet. Just sit down. Hello, Charlie.
Look, Cliff, we...
Well, now, wait. Charlie, let me get this straight. You say it was Leroy Clardy and Earl Pomeroy's wife?
Cliff, all
hey,
I want...
Shut up, Lum. I want to hear this.
Well, that Earl's got quite a temper.
Oh.
What did he use? An extra heavy mallet. How far did he knock her?
Oh, my. I knowed he's going to do that sooner or later.
Well, much obliged, Charlie. Call me if you hear anything else. Goodbye. Oh, I wish I could have seen this. Must have been quite a croquet game.
Croquet game?
Yeah, you see, Earl and Sister Simpson was playing his wife and Leroy Clardy.
Cliff, I'm in a hurry. All I want...
It was Earl's turn, and his wife was laying just this side of number three wicket. So Earl hauls off and knocks her clean out of the court.
Oh, me, for a minute there, I thought you meant Earl had actual hit her.
Well, he did. Man can't play croquet with his wife laying in front of the wickets.
Cliff, I'm in an awful hurry.
Well, Earl regretted it, though. He couldn't revive his wife, and they had to send all over town to get somebody to fill in for and finish the match.
Who won?
Abner Heshaw. Look, Cliff, I want to get that paper with the incubator company's address on it.
Oh, well, let's see now. What'd I do with it?
I just got to have it, Cliff.
I might have thrown it in the wastebasket. Wait, there's somebody at the door.
I'll see who it is. You keep looking for the paper.
How do you do? I'm Miss Pitts from the County Home Economics Bureau.
Why, Miss Pitts, what are you doing here?
I've got a new job, but don't interrupt me or I'll forget what I'm supposed to say. We are sent into your homes to instruct you in new ideas which will benefit the average home wrecker. I mean, homemaker.
Yeah, well, Miss Pitts...
The county feels that good health requires good sleeping conditions. Therefore, we are instructing you in mattress renovating. Would you kindly get me your mattress?
Miss Pitts, I don't even live here. And besides that,
may I speak to the lady of the house?
Wait, I'll call her. Hey, Cliff, do you want your mattress renovated?
I wouldn't want it done even if I knowed what it was.
He don't want it renovated, Miss Pitts. Sorry. Goodbye. Cliff, have you found that...
Goodbye.
Mom, I don't know what I've done with that tarnation paper.
Hey, what's this, Cliff?
You put that down, Abner. Ain't polite to read personal junk.
Why, thanks, Miss Pitts. Sweet. Listen, Long.
Oh, no, Abner.
Where'er I roam on land or sea, by bus or ocean freighter, on Mother's Day, I think of you, dear Prescott Incubator.
Abner, we ain't got time to be reading poetry. Now, we got to find that page.
Hey, wait, I think maybe Opie picked that paper up again.
All right, let's get on over to Opie's place.
No, he's here, Lum. He's in the next room practicing for his music lesson.
What are you letting him practice here for?
Trying to get the people next door to move.
Where is he? In this room here?
I wouldn't go in there if I was you.
Get out of my way, Cliff. Ain't nothing can stop me. Abner, you go in there and get the baby.
No, sir, I ain't going in there. Not without my earmuffs on.
Grannies, I've got to get that paper. Opie, will you shut that thing off for a minute?
Oh, hello, Lump. You want me to start at the beginning so you can hear the whole song?
No, I don't.
I'm playing Glowworm, I think. It ain't glowing much. Sounds like a worm needs a new set of batteries.
Opie, I want that paper with that Prescott address on the back of it.
Oh, I give that to Andy D. Vine.
To Andy? Don't tell me he's an incubator baby, too.
As dog as he was, I bet you that was the start of the Quonset hut.
Well, what did Andy want that address for?
Oh, he said there was some funny stuff about you on the other side that he wanted to read to the gang down at the barbershop.
Oh, my goodness. We've got to get over to Andy's before my reputation is ruined. If that gang ever gets hold of that paper, I'll be the laughing stock to the whole town.
Well, that'll be a whole lot better than putting it in a magazine, being a laughing stock to the whole country.
And now here's Opie Cates, his clarinet and his orchestra, and Royal Garden Blues.
Thank you.
Well, if Andy ain't got that page, me and my writing career will be tossed right in the ash can.
Well, leastways you be near your material on. Why don't you give up this wild goose chase?
No, sir. When an editor quit the thing, he don't never leave it till it's time to give up.
Huh? I think you mean when an editor starts a thing.
Don't tell me what I mean. Let me figure it out for myself. Why don't Andy hurry? That literary agent's more than likely on his way over to my place right now.
Well, howdy, boys. Come on in and take a load off your wedgies.
Well, we can't stay, Andy. We're in an awful hurry. I just want to get that piece of paper you got from Opie. That belongs to me.
Oh, is that yours? Sure, I got that. Now, come on in and I'll get it for you.
Good.
What you ought to have done in the first place was make a carbonated copy of it.
Now, let me see. I think I put it in one of these stacks of paper here. Or maybe this is... Oh, no. Oh, say, Abner, here's something I cut out of the newspaper to read to you.
Andy, we ain't got time for that now.
Oh, Abner, this is the saddest thing.
Well, don't read it to me. I've had enough sad things read to me for one day.
It looks like I'm going to have to find that thing myself.
Now, just listen, Abner. Mrs. Olive Hansen of 914 Beagle Street, Laverne, Minnesota, writes...
Andy, Lom's in a hurry.
I was nervous and run down.
They always are.
I lost weight and became irritable. When the children came home from school, I barked at them. I was half crazy.
And half Airedale.
I grew steadily worse, and my doctor didn't know what to prescribe for me.
How about a muzzle and new teeth?
He gave me only 1 week to live.
Too long.
But that same day, I heard about Levine's Indian Swamp Water Bath and the 10-day miracle cure.
Wow.
And I have been on the miracle cure for only 3 days, and already I am feeling better.
Now,
Abner, ain't that the saddest thing you ever heard of?
Well, I know she's getting better, ain't you?
Yeah, but don't you see, if the cure takes 10 days and she's only got a week to live, she won't even get well in time for her funeral.
Dad, blame it, Andy. Will you cut that out and find the page? I don't know where to look.
Yeah, all right. Well, if I can pull myself together here. Eyes are puddling up so bad. Oh, wait, out there's somebody at the door.
Never mind that. I'll get the door. You keep hunting for the paper. Abner, you keep hunting, too.
Uh-huh.
This ain't the worst one day I ever had.
How do you do? I'm Miss Pitt from the County Home Economics Bureau.
Look, Miss Pitt.
We are sent into your homes to instruct you in new ideas which will benefit the average homewrecker. Homemaker. Excuse me.
Miss Pitt, we went through all this over Cliff
House. The county feels that good health requires...
Miss Pitt.
...good sleeping conditions.
Goodbye, Miss Pitt. Granny. Andy, hurry up and...
Will you kindly get me your mattress?
Just a minute. Andy, do you want your mattress renovated?
No!
With the padding he's got, who needs a mattress?
No, he don't, Miss Pitt, and goodbye. Andy, for pity's sake, will you please find that page for me?
Oh, I remember what I done with it. I wrapped up some bones for Charlie Redfield's dog in it.
My goodness alive. Abner, you rush over to Charlie's. I better get back home before that literary agent gets there. And hurry up, because I don't know how long I can stall him all.
Yeah, I'll hurry. Dogies, if I ever get through this day alive, I'm going to write an article about you, too. Only I'm going to call mine the most regrettable character.
Mr. Edwards, I waited about as long as I can. What about your magazine article?
Now, Mr., what was your name again?
Carter.
Oh, yes, Mr. Carter. But you don't want to rush off. You just got here about an hour ago.
Well, I really ought to be going, Mr. Edwards. I have some other business to take care of.
Care for another buttermilk?
Thank you, no. I have to drive, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Edwards, I understood from Miss Bartlett that your manuscript was completed. Now, what's holding you up?
I'm beginning to wonder that myself.
Now, look, if you're too modest to read your article yourself, give it to me and I'll read it.
Oh, I'll read it. I just want to make sure you're comfort and, how about a buttermilk, Mr. Carter?
I think I'll sit this one out.
All right, now. Let me make one more phone call over to Charlie Redfield.
Look, I don't have time to sit here while you call up all your friends. Now, please read the manuscript.
Yes, sir.
Well, go on, read it.
Mr. Carter, I've got to confess, I just ain't got it.
Oh, now, don't be modest. Let me be the judge of whether you've got it or not.
Well, no, what I meant... Aye, grannies, there comes Abner. Relax, Mr. Carter, I've got it.
Well, that's better. That's the proper spirit.
Well, I don't get there, kids, Lom.
Well, good. Now, sit down, Abner, and brace yourself off. You look a sight.
Well, you would, too, if you just went 2 out of 3 falls with the hungry bulldog.
Well, I guess we're all set now, Mr. Carter. Here's my masterpiece. Page 1. Well, for pity's sake, Abner, you could at least taken the bones out.
Look, I had enough trouble worrying about my own bones.
Hey, Mr. Edwards, could we please hurry this along? I'm a very busy man.
Yes, sir. Here we go. Page 1. The most unforgettable character I ever met. As the sinking sun slips down behind the tree-covered hill, I recall the most... God blame it. Excuse me.
How do you do? I'm Miss Chip from the County Home Economics.
Oh, no.
We are sent into your homes to instruct you in new ideas.
Look, Miss Pitts, I don't want to go through that again, please.
I'm beginning to hate it myself. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Which will benefit the average home wrecker?
Homemaker.
Excuse me. The county feels that good health requires good sleeping conditions. Will you kindly get me your mattress?
Oh, for the land's sake. Abner, will you take Miss Pitts into the other room and give her my mattress and let her renovate it?
Yeah, come on, Miss Pitts.
Oh, thank you.
Just follow me.
Oh, how do you do, sir?
How do you do?
Do you have a mattress?
Not with me.
Hey, come on, Miss Pitts.
Granny, well, let's see now. Where was we now?
The sun had just started to slip.
Oh, yeah. As the sinking sun slipped down behind the tree-covered hill, I recall the most unforgettable... Oh, for goodness sake, come in.
Hello, Mom. Say, could I use your...
Whatever it is, Opie, no.
Well, this is important, Lum. I'm all practiced up for my music lesson, but I can't take it at Cliff's house because his phone is out of order.
Well, what's the phone got to do with your music lesson?
My music teacher is in Clinton, Arkansas.
Well, now, look, Opie, you can't take no long-distance lesson in here. I've got a manuscript to read.
Oh, that's all right. Go on. It won't bother me. I play loud.
Now, listen, Opie.
Mr. Edwards, will you please get on with the reading?
Oh, yes, sir. As the sinking sun slips down...
Hello, Mammy. Will you put a call through to Clinton, Arkansas? Yeah. Professor Yasha Bidball. That's right.
Behind the tree-covered hill, I recall... Opie, cut out that whistling.
Oh, excuse me.
I recall the most unforgettable character I've ever met.
That's right. Drag it right in here.
Dogie, this thing's heavy.
Abner, don't bring that mattress in the parlor.
Miss Pitts told me to.
The county feels that a knowledge of mattress renovating is valuable to all homemakers. Homewreckers. Excuse me.
Only as a thinking son.
Ain't that thing stank yet?
Slip down behind the...
Hello, Professor Bedball. This is Opie Case, and I'm all set for my lesson.
Someone will please get me a sharp knife.
That's the best suggestion I've heard so far.
Hello, Professor. No, no, no. I'm still on glowworm.
As a sinking
Well,
sun
here goes, Prof. Now, lift. Close.
Slip down behind this tree-covered hill. I recall the most unforgettable character I ever met. Never have I known a more colorful... God, blame it, I can't even hear this myself.
Here, use mine. I think I'll take that.
Opie, stop it. Shut that thing off. Opie!
But, Mom, I paid for an hour lesson.
Here's you paid for a pound. Stay out.
Hey, Lem, Charlie Redfield wants his dog's bones back.
Now, take the knife and rip the mattress lengthwise, so.
Oh, Miss Kent, don't do that.
Look at that. Look like somebody dropkicked the dog.
Hey, quiet. Will everyone be quiet for just a minute? Right.
Mr. Carter, I'm sorry this all had to happen.
Just be quiet, Mr. Edwards. I have something to say. How much do you want for that manuscript?
Why, I...
Will $100 be enough?
$100? I grant you, you've made a deal.
Don't be long. Good for you.
Mr. Edwards, you are indeed the most unforgettable character I've ever met.
Thank you, thank you. Are you going to fit it into the magazine?
No, I'm going to burn it and try to forget you. Good day.
That gay, jaunty man about town, Jack Benny, will go all out for the Easter parade this Sunday, rain, shine, or dry ice. CBS cordially invites you to join him and his fellow paraders, Dennis, Don, Phil, Mary, and Rochester, on your favorite CBS station. Million crippled children throughout the nation need your help today. These children deserve a chance, and you can give it to them through Easter Seals. Yes, Easter Seals provide special education, recreation, and the medical care that can make crippled children useful, happy citizens of your community. Get your Easter Seals today. Remember, every Easter Seal you use helps a crippled child. Send your gift to Crippled Children, Box 5050, Chicago 80. Next week and every week at the same time with Andy Devine, Basil Pitt, Cliff Arquette, music by Opie Case, written by Ralph Rogers and Betty Boyle, and directed by Larry...